questions for an acting chairperson, please? Yes, sir. Mr. Krenda? Thank you. Right. Samaran, duly elected to act as chairperson for today's proceedings. Thank you. I must once again apologize for the inconvenience caused by the change of the venue. Some of the numbers I did call, but I didn't have a response. And as you will see, I'm circulating a document here with different telephone numbers. Some of those numbers do not respond, so I need to get an update of your telephone number so that this doesn't happen in future, and so that when I need to call you, I know I've got the right number. Thank you.
Morning, honorable members. In the department, PMG, thank you for nominating me. I think we know each other by now. We're not going to waste time on by introducing ourselves, if members agree with me. Can we request the department to brief us? Our agenda is on the merchant shipping convention bill. So can the department present to us the background, what is this going to do, and all the steps that will be followed. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Chairperson, and good morning to honorable members. We'd like to apologize with our system, which is taking some time to show on the screen. I wonder whether you've got copies of the presentation. I think we can proceed while we are waiting for the system to update the files. From, as I said, I'm Advocate Masombo from Department of Transport Legislation, Chief Directorate. I've got Mr. Mpahlele, who's my deputy, Mr. Bernard Mapalale, and Mr. Tsepo Sitoho. He's still new in the department, that is why I've been struggling. Yes, they are in the Chief Directorate Maritime. The purpose of this meeting is to brief the NCOP on the Merchant Shipping Safe Containers Bill. We've got the principal act called Merchant Shipping. Within this particular Merchant Shipping Act, we have got many various legislations, like the constitutions that enables development of other legislation. So in maritime, the principal act, the Bible Act in maritime will be Merchant Shipping. Then within Merchant Shipping Act, there are so many various legislations which cannot be grouped together because of the magnitude of the or the scope of work that will be contained in those particular piece of legislation. The purpose of this meeting is to brief the Select Committee on Merchant Shipping Safe Containers Bill 2010. The background to this bill is as follows. South Africa is a contracting party to the International Convention for Safe Containers since 1972, since its accession in June 1982. The convention was adopted on the 2nd December 1972 and entered into force on the 6th September 1977. There are currently 65 contracting parties to the convention. What it means is most of civil aviation legislation and maritime legislations, they emanate from agreements or treaties or conventions which various states agree to them, and then individual states then customize those particular conventions into law, so that those particular conventions can be binding to the citizens of the each and every individual state. That is why it takes so many time for that particular convention to come into force. And as you can see, it started in 1972. It was acceded to in 1982 by South Africa. And we've got 65 contracting parties to this convention. What it means, there are 65 contracting states to this particular convention. The convention was domestically given effect to by enacting the International Convention for Safe Containers Act in 1985. South Africa as a country tried to bring this convention into force by coming up with the Safe Containers Act in 1985. This 1985 piece of legislation didn't fall under the Department of Transport, but it was spearheaded by Department of Trade and Industry. And it never entered into force. What it means is it was adopted by a parliament, but it was not put into operation. I have done a research about why was it not put into operation. I couldn't get an answer. The reason might be because it was not administered by the Department of Transport. The objects of the bill are as follows: to maintain a high level of safety of human life in the transport industry and handling of containers by providing a generally acceptable test procedures and related strength requirement; to facilitate international transport of containers by providing a uniform international safety regulations equally applicable to all modes of surface transport in order to avoid a proliferation of divergent national safety regulations; to repeal this very same Act of 1985 and to provide for matters connected therewith. This particular convention at international level, it underwent or undergone various amendments to the convention. Therefore, those particular convention, that is the reason why we didn't see it or deem it fit to amend this 1985 Act, because there are so many amendments which have overtaken this particular 1985 Act, and especially because the 1985 Act was not put into operation in the country. It was just adopted by Parliament and published, and it was not implemented in essence. The requirements of the convention apply to the great majority of freight containers used internationally, except those for carriage by air. These particular containers are only for maritime carriage purposes. The scope of the convention is limited to the size of a prescribed the scope of the convention is limited to containers of a prescribed minimum size, having corner fittings, devices allowing for handling, securing, and staking. The convention set out the safety approval procedure of international containers for the administration of contracting state and by an organization acting on its behalf. Approved containers are identified by a safety approval plate, which is or will be affixed to the container under the authority of an administration. Here, by the authority of an administration, the authority refers to the entity that will be implementing this particular convention, and the administration refers to the country itself. So, in our case, in South Africa, it will be South African Maritime Authority that will be implementing this particular particular act on behalf of Department of Transport, as the entity is our extended arm. And the administration refers to the state as a whole, the government of the Republic of South Africa. The safety approval plate contains relevant technical data about the container to which it is affixed. The approval of the container shall be tagged with a safety approval plate granted under the authority of one contracting state and shall be recognized by the other contracting state. This principle of reciprocal acceptance of safety-approved containers is the cornerstone of the convention, and once approved and plated, it is expected that containers will move in international transport with the minimum safety and control formalities. I would like to take this opportunity to explain to the committee that this particular act and the convention, as this particular bill is emanating from the convention, it does not relate to the security of the container, meaning what is contained in the container. We are talking about the physical features of the container itself, so that when a container from another country comes in South Africa, our cranes that are used to offload this particular container should be able to can handle this particular container and remove it from either a ship and put it on a trailer with ease. You can imagine a situation whereby another country is having a different type of a container, and that container is shipped to our country, and when it's to be removed from the ship, we don't have that particular crane to remove that particular ship, that particular container from there. Then that will cause delay and unnecessary chaos will occur in our ports. So this convention and the bill relates to the safety of the container, the size of the container, the shape, the devices, the administration of the state, which will be our entity, will be responsible. It is just like a car when you give a roadworthy certificate to a car to say that this car has been checked, and as far as we are concerned as the authority of the administration of the country, we approve that this particular car can carry passengers or can carry the goods. So our SAMHSA will be responsible to look at these containers, check whether they comply with this international convention, the requirements as per the regulations that will be developed developed in terms of this particular act. The subsequent maintenance of a safe approved container is the responsibility of the owner, who is required to have the container examined periodically. The technical annex to the convention requires that the container undergo various tests, representing a combination of safety requirements of both the inland and maritime modes of transport. Flexibility is incorporated in the convention by the provision of a simplified amendment procedure that facilitates the adoption of test procedures to the prevailing requirements of international container traffic. The convention has since its inception undergone several amendments. The 1983 amendment was adopted on the 13th June 1983 and entered into force on the 1st January 1984. This amendment extended the interval between the re-examination to 30 months and permits a choice of container examination procedure between the original periodic examination scheme and a new continuous examination program. Overview of the bill itself. It was very significant that I should give you the background on the convention itself, because the bill takes cue from the convention. So the background of the convention, if you understand that, so it will be easier for a person to understand the bill. Because I don't want to bother you by saying section one says this and that, and then you'll have to unpack that. But if you got the background very well, that is why I gave a lot of background about the convention before I come to the overview of the bill. The bill proposes to reassign functions related to the implementation and administration of the convention from the Department of Trade and Industry to the Minister of Transport. Like I've already stated that this convention entered into force, and trade and industry has tried to give effect to this convention. But as I said, I tried to check with trade and industry, why didn't they implement this particular convention, but I couldn't get an answer from them. And realizing that this bill or the convention is transport related, that is why we say the bill proposes to reassign functions related to implementation and administration of the convention from the Department of Trade and Industry to Minister of Transport. So with effect from the date when this convention or this bill will be passed or signed or assented to, it will be the Department of Transport that will be the custodian of this particular act and will make sure that it is implemented. The purpose of doing that is to ensure that the functions are assigned to the appropriate authorities having the responsibility for transport and related safety matters. The bill declares certain provisions of the convention to have the force of law and empowers the Minister of Transport to make regulations for carrying out and giving effect to the provisions of the convention. The regulations will, for example, establish the requirements for the approval, maintenance, repair, inspection, detection and detention, and disposal of containers. The text of the convention is set out in the schedule and incorporates several amendments to the convention. The bill further empowers the Minister of Transport to make regulations for carrying out and giving effect to the convention. That will be the regulations for that will be regulations for maintenance, repair, inspection, detention, detection, disposal of containers. The bill creates offenses and penalties for non-compliance with this act and the regulations. The administration and enforcement of the proposed measures are entrusted to South African Maritime Safety Authority. That is our entity as the Department of Transport. It is the one that will appoint inspectorate to look at as to whether the industry people are complying with this convention and are also complying with the regulations as per this particular act. The bill empowers the authority to designate inspectors to direct inquiries into certain accidents and incidents. The bill was published in for consultation in the Gazette of 15 April 2009. Comments were received from South African Maritime Safety Authority and Transnet. The bill was also circulated to various departments for comments. The bill was presented to the DG Cluster, and the Cluster agreed that the bill be processed for Cabinet approval. The bill was also approved by Cabinet for tabling in Parliament for debate. The bill was also presented to the Portfolio Committee on Transport, and the Portfolio Committee approved the bill. All comments were received from these various stakeholders and also during public hearing by Portfolio Committee. There were various stakeholders who came to make their presentation. Others submitted written submissions, and they were taken into account, and where necessary, those comments were taken into account. There are no financial implications in this regard. One might say inspectors will have to do certain duties. is that not a human resource? Are there no financial implications for appointing these particular inspectors? Currently, there are already inspectors appointed by South African Maritime Authority. It's just unfortunate one of their representatives is not here. They've guaranteed us that the inspectorate already is there because they can do this particular function together with the functions that this inspectorate is already doing, because those inspectors will be reporting to SAMHSA. So human resources is already there to implement this bill. The very same salaries, they will earn the very same salaries and with this additional scope of work. One might say that might be too much for the inspectorate. There are various inspectors that check the containers. There will be inspectors for dangerous goods that will be checking. There will be custom and excise inspectorate that will also be checking this. So there are various services or inspectorates that look into specific activity that they need to perform. Thus, we say there are no financial implications for the state. Once this bill is approved by Parliament and assented to by the President, the bill will be published in the Gazette for compliance and general information. And then on slide 19, we've got the parliamentary procedure. And in our last slide, we request the NCOP to support or to approve this bill. That's the end of our presentation on Merchant Shipping Safe Containers Bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, members. That was the presentation on the Merchant Shipping Safe Container Bill. Now you're requesting the NCOP. We're still the select committee at this point in time. We are still at the level of the committee, select committee. So you are requesting the committee, the select committee on public service to...
I appreciate that, Chairperson. Thank you for...
Because this committee is also still going to refer it to the House, to the National Council of Provinces, as you were saying, the portfolio committee has supported or approved. But Parliament, then, it's NCOP. We, as the committee, we're still going to take it to the House if we approve it here.
Thanks very much, Chair.
Okay, members, we've been listening to the background, the objects of the bill. Now is the time for us to get more information. But if I can start to say, you couldn't get the reasons why the Department of Trade and Industry couldn't implement this bill. So, as the Department of Transport, do you now in your position have the budget for the implementation of this bill, and whether this bill will be creating jobs? Members, Honorable Groenewald, Honorable Dow, do I see your... Oh, I thought you, I see your... Honorable Dow, then Honorable Feldsman, Honorable Jacobs, in that order.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I've got only two questions at this stage. The first one is, you said that the containers remain the property of the owners. But if we're going out here on the N1, it looks like mountains. All the containers is stagging there. And I want to know, and some of that containers, I'm looking at them for about 2 years now, the very same containers. And I want to know, do we get any revenue from the owners to stack these containers on our land? I believe the most of that containers is from countries abroad. And now we stack them here, or are they dumping the containers here? What is going on there with all the containers? And I believe the same will be in all our coast cities, like Port Elizabeth and Durban and all that places. There will be also a lot of containers like this here in Cape Town. So are we a dumping place for the world containers, or what is going on? And then You said there's no cost or financial implications in the whole container business. But then I want to know, if you look what happened on our docks and things, how they handled the containers, which department is responsible then for any financial cost on the container business? Thank you.
No, thank you very much. I think one must agree that it is a good thing that the department takes responsibility, the Department of Transport, to deal with this thing. But probably my questions would be, or comments would be related to what you said and what the Honourable Khunova is saying. Because, look, we do have, these containers are there already. Now, in terms of the giving effect to this act and the convention, what then are the implications on the current status of these containers? And linked to that would also be our strategic imperative that we had set for ourselves as a country, in terms of job creation, skills development, and so forth. How does this speak to that? Who is going to do these kind of things? Taking into account the issues that the Honorable Groenewald is raising, that the containers would be the responsibility or the ownership would be of the owners and not of the state or whatsoever. Now, how do you tell me to change, for instance, let's assume I've had or I've been operating, I've been in the business and I've got about 30 to 100 containers. What are the implications of this act now, having failed the test of time since 1983, having failed the test of time against my investments on this particular containers, and that would also be linked to the question of the cost implications, because you cannot therefore punish me for something that you should have done, because it was the responsibility of the state to have implemented the act way back in 1983. I got into this business in 1990 or in 1994. With the advent or the democratic breakthrough, I saw an opportunity. According to it, I bought myself 50 or 100 containers, and I'm doing well in that business. Now you're telling me that due to this, with the enactment of this particular piece of legislation, I must then change the structure of my containers. I must put up plates. I must do what? I must do all those sorts of things, which I have not budgeted for initially when I got into this business. So it will require, it would then come back to what then becomes the role of the department in assisting those people who would be doing business there, and it will come back to the issue of cost implications, because then now either I will have to be compensated, or either it be 30% or whatsoever that needs to. So I think it is important that we get clarity on those kind of questions. There's only one thing that I must say. Yes, I understand. You have done your research, but I still think that it is inadequate for the department to have said we do not know, we do not have reasons why the act was not implemented. Because if you don't know, how are we going to know now? Why was this act not put into place or into action? If it was a matter of negligence, not on your part as the current administration or the administration that came after the act was put into place. But let us be told that the people who were supposed to have done their work did not do their work. And that's it. So that we are able to also explain. Because if you don't know, and we pass the bill in the House, what are we going to say? the act could not be implemented for reasons that we don't know. I mean, I don't want to sound like that on the day when we put it to the House. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the two members already covered me. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Chair. I think mine is it's the question is not relevant to this, but it is related to this. I just want to check, as you have said, that this act does not regulate what is contained inside the containers. Do we have an act which regulate that to know exactly what is contained, whether it's standard, it's legal, and so on, it meets our minimum requirements and so on?
And maybe also to add to see the safe container. How safe is those containers? Can you maybe describe to us, explain how, what is going to be like recognized that this is the safe container?
Thanks, Chairperson. We've got various legislations on the civil aviation side and also on the maritime related side and on land transport side that regulate the security of the container, what is contained in the container. That pertains to dangerous goods, and also that regulates also how is the container packed inside, because sometimes if you pack a container, you must make sure that you don't just pack one side of the container, because it might elevate the weight of the container only on one side of the truck or the ship, and you find that there's no balance there. So that is also taken into account. As to what is the container carrying, we've got dangerous goods legislation that takes care of that, and we've got dangerous goods inspectorate that also look at it. They work hand in hand with this particular inspector that will be appointed by SAMHSA. Then we've got also customs and excise inspectorate that also does part of their job in inspecting the content of the container. The question on research, it is true that it is not nice to say I couldn't get the reason why, because that was my starting point, in fact, when I started dealing with this bill, because I wanted to know why can't we amend this particular bill. And the reason that I was given was that there are so many amendments, and I have checked that there are so many amendments which have overtaken the 1985 legislation. But the question as to why didn't DTI implement this, DTI itself couldn't answer me. Instead, they have supported that we can proceed with this particular bill and repeal this 1985 Act, because that will be administered by the Department of Transport. Maybe it might not be easy for them to tell me what was their reasons, because maybe they didn't want to expose their failures of not having implemented this. Or maybe, after all, they realize that this thing, in essence, is not our responsibility, is the responsibility of the Department of Transport. Maybe they didn't get proper support there. But I don't like giving this kind of an answer, because I'm speculating. But I have checked that, because my starting point was going to be, we've got the legislation. If we have to transfer this particular mandate to the Department of Transport, then let submissions be there. We get approval for transferring that particular 1985 Act to the Department of Transport. But it was coupled with the reason, it was coupled with the fact that there were further amendments to the conventions, and they were so magnitude in such a way that it was not necessary to start amending, because it will be like reworking the whole legislation afresh. So the question was, why can't we just come up with a fresh legislation and repeal the old one? But as to why DTI didn't implement, I've checked that, but we've got support from them. During the cluster meeting, DTI was also represented there. Also in cabinet, it was also represented. And from official level, we received a letter that they don't have a problem of us coming up with a particular kind of a bill. I know I'm not happy with the answer that I'm giving, but that is the state of the affair of this particular thing. I've also checked with our maritime chief directorate as to what were the reasons. And the people that are available currently in the department, they are new. They don't have that much of institutional memory as to why this thing didn't happen and the like. So it was as if this is my baby alone, because at the end of the day I was supposed to process this particular bill. And I foresaw that the committee will ask me this particular question. That is why I was so eager in trying to find out the reason for this particular. And that could have been my starting point of whether I do amendment to 1985 or I come up with a new clean bill. So in the absence of all those particular answers, it was just good for me to start a new, fresh, clean thing which I can stand and argue for or in support of. Because if I start to do amendments, then I will have to get the background which I didn't get from the predecessors or the people that were the custodians of this particular legislation. The question as to whether we do have budget for this particular bill, I have already stated that, look, this is an international convention. When you talk about the international convention, we refer to a situation whereby an agreement has been reached by various states. And these various states put laws into picture, because when you deal with maritime law or anything that you talk about maritime, it means we are talking about one country to the other country. And when you talk about these particular containers, we know that containers move from South Africa to the other. They work for shipment of goods purposes. Therefore, you cannot come up with your own legislation in South Africa alone. So your internal legislation must take cue from this international agreement. Now, if we are not adopting the convention and we're not acceding to the convention and we don't come with our domestic legislation, it means we wouldn't be able to can enforce these international principles as stated in the convention. Yes, it is true that this other convention will have to be to be modified to suit the standard, the international standard, especially if it's a container for international shipment purposes. It will have to fit this particular standard. Already currently, the containers that we do have in the country, I'm reliably informed by our entity officials that most of them, they're already complying with international standard, because of one simple reason: that if your container does not comply with international standard already, when your container moves from South Africa and go to another country, they will have a problem with that particular container. So irrespective of the fact that we did have law or we didn't have law, if you want to operate, especially international the transportation of these containers, you will try to check as to what is the standard on the other hand, what is the international principle pertaining to these particular containers. And already our citizens were voluntarily already complying with this particular sets of principles as stated in the international convention, irrespective of the fact that we didn't have a domestic legislation. But the problem would be one: we wouldn't be domestically be able to can enforce or say our citizen has contravened or has committed an offense because he didn't follow the international principle, because we have not cascaded this particular law down into our country. Because for the country to hold its citizens accountable, it must create a domestic law. Now, this is the particular domestic law that we are creating to say, yes, we realize that our people of this particular industry have been complying internationally. But now, if there in the event of a problem, how do we start to regulate these particular people? Then there was this particular need that we should come up with this particular bill, which will be implemented, and the people of the industry, so they can be properly regulated. It's like we've got other merchant shipping bills which compel ship owners to take insurance. They will be coming to this forum in future. You know that if you operate a business, you cannot operate a business without insurance. But we don't have that domestic law that compels these people to have that particular kind of insurance. And that insurance is pertaining to, in the event there is an oil spill in the sea, and the ship owner is unable to clean that particular spill. How, because it doesn't have a financial muscle. Now, how is he going to clean up that particular spill? Now, the ship owners, especially the oil carriers, already on their own voluntarily, because they are doing international shipment, they are already complying with this international standard. They have taken insurance on their own, but domestically you can't compel them because you don't have a domestic law. If a person says, I don't have money, even in civil procedure, if a person does not have money, there's absolutely nothing that you can do to that particular person if he does not have anything to satisfy the damage. So this is the particular kind of legislation whereby, irrespective of the fact that we don't have a domestic legislation, but if you enter into a particular kind of industry or business, you will have to check internationally as to what are the standards internationally. So that's the reason why we as a country, as Department of Transport, we realize this particular gap that our ship, our containers are not regulated by anything. But the owners of the containers, because these are meant for international transport purposes, they have already checked outside there and already are complying. This particular act, we must understand that it regulates containers for international shipment purposes only, not domestic or inland containers. Because the purpose of this is, we don't want a situation whereby a South African container is shipped to another country and that country does not have a particular kind of a crane that can handle that particular container. So that is the reason why it doesn't regulate in inland containers. The question of financial as to whether we do have budget to implement this bill, I've already said that this is for compliance purposes and to hold people accountable and to continue, maybe to issue even guidelines that internationally we've got this particular kind of an amendment as agreed to by the states. Now we want to cascade this particular requirement down to our industry people in the country. Then we'll be able to say, people of the country, take note that internationally these are the changes. Therefore, we are also amending our legislation. Please comply with the following. If we don't comply, then what do we do? We need to come up with some kind of punishment to that kind of a person because he might cause unnecessary hazard. Punishment must not be taken in a bad way because that's the only thing that you can make people to comply if they deliberately don't comply to avoid disasters and incidents. Yes, the container remains the property of the owner. And it is the responsibility of the owner to make sure that that particular container comply with our regulations, which will be saying to him, for an international container for shipment purposes, it must be of this size, it must be have these particular features, it must have these devices. And if your container does not have that, your container wouldn't pass what I can, in simple terms or commonly known thing, it wouldn't pass if it was a trailer. It wouldn't pass a roadworthy test. So that particular approval safety plate, it will be some kind of a CF, certificate of fitness, to say this container, we have checked it as the authority, that will be inspectorate of our entity SAMHSA. We have checked this container from this period to that period, and as far as we are concerned, this container satisfies the requirements of this particular act. Then you operate, if it's a taxi for that particular period, come lapse of that particular time, you need to go back to the testing station to go and test that particular container. You'll pardon me because I'm making examples with trailers and taxis because those are common things which we see them every day, and our brothers are having such. We normally hear people complaining about, hey, I must go to CF. It's exactly the same when you deal with containers. SAMHSA will be responsible for that. Thanks, Chairperson. One question was how is this modification of these containers or development of the new containers to suit the international standard going to have an imperative or an impact on job creation? I've already alluded that most of our containers for international shipment purposes are compliant. There will be those which are not compliant, and definitely they will have to be compliant in terms of this particular convention. And that will be able to enforce it because we'll be having a domestic legislation. Therefore, a person wouldn't load his container if it is not compliant. And if you want to remain in a business, you'll have to modify that particular container. And if you modify that particular container, you'll have to look at technical people who can do modification of that particular container. And that modification is governed in terms of the regulations pertaining to this particular act as to what devices or what features should your container be made of or designed. And that also will give business to the people who are working with metals and the like to ensure that those particular features are affixed to that particular container, to check as well that particular container safe to comply with international standards. Because that particular container, its main purpose is shipment from one country to another country.
Thank you. I think you missed my question at this stage, and I'm asking you, and you must give me a direct answer on it. Are the world used us as a dumping place for containers? Because it seems look like that. If I'm looking at the containers on the N1, these containers, they are scrap, and they are staying there.
Well, thanks, sir. I also want to use an example through or by illustration of the taxis. You see, I don't want for us to assume that people who are in this business are people that have got money and are people that can afford these things, whether it be modification or what. I think the principle I'm trying to raise here is in relation to what the Department of Transport in actual fact is grappling with as we speak today of the taxi recapitalization program, coming up with standards, new standards, and as we said, people have to scrap their taxis and all that. And then later on, the department will say, okay, fine, we realize that this thing is not going to, it's going to affect you negatively. We will assist you with resources in order to meet these kind of standards. And later on, leading to other people losing their businesses. Now, that's the principle. I may not have the specifics of the operators of these containers, but in an event, we find ourselves in that kind of a situation. Because I don't want for us to assume that there are no emerging business people who are not involved in these container things, who may find it difficult to modify them, who may not have followed these international standards precisely because of there's no legislation that binds them. And they could still get away with murder, if I may call it that way. Now they are going to be forced now because of this legislation. They don't have the resources to do that. What then?
Thank you, Chairperson. According to me, I believe that an informed leader is an effective leader. And here we are, we have made a presentation of which we don't say we are not going to support. But then, how do we support something when we still have a question mark? You fail to get an answer why the previous one was not implemented. And you are also failing to give us the reason why the previous one was not implemented. Meaning that, according to me, in fact, there's a rotten mouse being cooked in the pot. And there's no way that we can support that bill if we do not know precisely what happened previously. Because I according to me, you need to know. We should move from the known to the unknown to make the unknown the known. And therefore, I will just come up with a suggestion that, in principle, we are not against this. But then what we need is either to have a cogent reason why the why that is mind-boggling is the problem with me, of course, and I should think with all of us as politicians, because we do not want to support things contained. There's a lot wrong that is being covered by playing a game that we do not know. There's no answer, just like that, because we don't want to cover corruption or mischiefs or whatever. We need to take decisions soberly to support. So we need to know. That is my plea.
Thank you, Jefferson. I think I follow and I will support as well. If the department can say yes to my question, is this safety of a container one of the articles in a whole convention? Is it a whole convention itself? It's a particular part of the convention for the safekeeping of the containers. Because, as you know, there will be accidents on in the harbors. The container can fall on somebody. So if I can read your proposal, it says to me that you are talking only about the container itself, not the handling of the container, not the transporting of the container itself. For instance, like you said, comments from different parties. I suppose it is companies like Grindrod and them which have contracts like with the Western Province to store the containers. So maybe it can be agreement between the container company and the provincial government where the containers stand. So what I read from this piece of paper is that you are talking specifically only on the container, the box itself. If that is like that, then I will support the bill. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I will start with this last one. When the reason why I emphasize the safety of the container, in my previous interaction with other people, they have mixed the safety of the container and the security of the container, what is contained in there. I have already alluded to the fact that the security of the container is governed by other legislation. So the safety of the container, we are referring to handling of this container, staking this particular container, transportation of this particular container, and removing of this container from either a ship and putting it on a trailer. That should be safe, because that might cause accident during the course of that operation of removing that particular container. On the question as to whether are we a dumping place, definitely not. We are not supposed to be a dumping place, and that need to be taken care of. This particular comment, I've already given it to our maritime chief directorate, because they are the ones that will be monitoring the implementation of this act by implementation of this by our entity SAMHSA. They work hand in hand to look into that. Pertaining to the question that relates to taxi recapitalization program, assisting what it means will be, if a container is to be scrapped, or we don't have or the emerging BEE or emerging contractor is trying to enter into this particular market, and here comes this particular bill is overtaking his intention by saying your containers are not conforming with this international standard. Currently we don't have that particular program of what are we going to do with those kind of particular people. And a further answer to that is that cannot only be regulated by means of a legislation. If you look at the tax recapitalization program, it's a project. It's not regulated in terms of the legislation. It was a pilot project by the department. So when we develop our regulations, our department, especially maritime, will have to look into that. And if there is that particular dire need to have that particular kind of assistance to those kind of people, that will be a project that will have to be researched and also be budgeted for. But for now, that is not our mandate, because as I'm reliably informed by our our SAMHSA, South African Maritime Authority, that these international containers that ship goods from one country to another, already most of them, they are compliant. But there will be those which are not compliant. So at least our citizens will have a particular law wherein they will read and understand to say, in terms of our law currently, this is the requirement. You can imagine a situation whereby that particular emerging contractor, maybe in our country, you allow him to ship his container, and when it reaches Zimbabwe or another country, he gets the frustration that his container cannot be removed from the container because Zimbabwean authority does not have that particular crane that can remove that. So in essence, a bit of a research, if you enter into a business, you really, it is a must that you should do that, because otherwise your business will fall because you have not done enough research. But I'm saying already the majority of these containers, they are compliant. It means the people in this particular industry, they have realized that because this thing, we're not going to transport it from South Africa to South Africa. Let's check as to what are the laws of the other side regarding these particular containers. And then they make research, they check as to whether will they be able to remove those particular. The other reason why maybe we are seen as if we are a dumping place is because we don't have a legislation that enforces what we do with these particular containers which are stacked along N4. But once we've got this particular act, we've got the regulations, they'll have to cover those. The regulations will have to say, what are we doing with these containers that are stacked here? Are they supposed to be dealt again in terms of this particular legislation? Are they international containers, meaning from one country to another country, or are they domestic containers? So if they are domestic containers, then they wouldn't be covered by or be dealt with in terms of this particular law. But if those particular containers are international containers, then the regulations for this particular act will have to say, what do we do with those particular kind of containers? Are they posing a health hazard? Are they causing a environmental problem to the country or not? Then that will be dealt in terms of that particular. But what I'm trying to emphasize is that might be because we don't have this particular domestic legislation that says what we do about that particular people who are taking our country for a ride and dumping their container here. The other question was relating to, an informed leader is an effective leader. I totally agree with this particular statement. And I have explained already that after having done research about this particular thing, you wouldn't stop and say, I don't get an answer, therefore I don't do anything. I have done something, that is why I'm here before this particular committee. If I had an answer, I could have, and that answer, if I had an answer to say why that particular bill was not implemented, then what I could have done was just to do an amendment and cure that defect that made the Department of Trade and Industry not to implement that particular thing. Then I will be saying this is an amendment bill to the 1985 Act. But realizing that there is that particular problem, I said, no, let me start a clean bill. Where the bill that we're looking at now, the bill that the department can stand for and answer for it. Because if I come in with an amendment, the next question would be, you come with an amendment, but you have not yet implemented this particular bill. Then that will be, then I would fully agree with the statement that says an informed leader is an effective leader, because you can't do an amendment if there's no defect in a particular section of the act. But realizing that the answer is not there, I've done the research, and the very same people are even supporting that we can proceed with this particular bill. But no, let's do a clean bill and look into it. And we've made submissions to internally in the department to various managers and various branches in the department. They are in support of this particular bill. And definitely, as this particular mandate will fall under the Department of Transport, what it means is, as a department, we are very serious. We will implement this particular bill. I don't know whether there is another. I don't know.
Thank you, Chairperson. I should think, as a select committee, we need to see to it that we know precisely what failed the other department, because we cannot just let go. Even if we support, but we must know precisely what happened, because it might not be
this issue only. So many issues that would follow suit. And those who are responsible for that just get away with it, because something new will go in, will come in, and we are on the safer side. That is my plea. We must just know what happened, even if it's not from them, from those. Thank you.
No, I think I've covered everything. Yeah, Chair, just to make a follow-up on what Honorable Dawi has said and also the response that we got from the department. I think this issue, maybe we need to take it up with the Department of Transport when it comes to us for their state plan, especially to question on the issue of what is it they are doing to create jobs. Because I think this issue of emerging contractors of PEE, we still have the economy where it is still dominated by certain people. That our own people are not infiltrating those sections. So I think maybe we need to talk to the Department of Transport to also make it a project to encourage our people that they should venture into such businesses, and also they get assistance from the department.
Thank you very much. I think this is a very, very important bill. I think we've got four provinces that this bill will actually going to make, even if it's internationally, but job creation in these four provinces. We've got Western Cape, we've got KZN, we've got KZN is KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape, we've got the Northern Cape. So if we talk of job creation, we're talking of these, even if it's internationally. So that's why, as you know, that job creation is high on our agenda. We're looking forward to actually having, and because this is the first presentation to us members, we're still going to sit down, look at the bill close by close on our own, and with the concerns that members have raised, because definitely when you started, you said you looked for the reasons for the non-implementation of this, and you said you couldn't get. You said that. And then now, if you can share with us, because I even whispered to the secretary to say, maybe those people in that department are no longer there, because it's actually 1985. So it can be possible that those people are no longer there. There's no one who can give you the reasons. But because it's an international convention, you can still get information from other countries that you maybe was working with South Africa by then, so that maybe they can also explain why this couldn't be implemented. But we are happy about this bill.
No, my intervention is just maybe to assist the department. I think they do have an answer why the bill was not implemented. And the answer is simple, that the people who were there, who administered the implementation of the bill, had no interest in doing it.
I don't know whether you are putting words in their mouth.
Well, although I wouldn't say with that particular certainty, because I could have received But the what is said by the honourable member is next to the truth. that I can't talk for that particular department. And that's another reason, Chairperson, why we are taking this from... It was misplaced, in fact, this particular subject. That is why we are bringing it to the correct department. So maybe they might have realized that this thing doesn't belong to us. Therefore, we can just leave it. The next transport, we have to identify that there is a gap there. How do we close it?
Yeah, you see, we are politicians. So we say it the way we see. Yeah. So now we've opened your... Honorable Mabitja.
This is one for the road from me. I'm requesting him to tell us the reason why he appointed twin brothers in your department. I see twin brothers here.
Oh.
Explanation.
I'm Masumbuga is in Pasele. My father is deceased. But maybe they can bring their parents here.
Also to say, you know, in your directorate, if you can also make sure that you mix, you don't have the boys choir, the men's emzini wenziwa kuphela. You must also make sure that when you actually recruit, you recruit the female part, you know, section. So, you know, we want to see the brighter you there. Mm. Okay, thanks. Members, I think we have come to the end of our discussions. This bill, we can't just pass it today. It's our first interaction with the department. We are happy it's there, and we're going to look at it. We will inform you when will the next meeting will be. Thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting stands adjourned. And thank you very much.